You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Welcome on in. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494, live from Eagles training camp at the NovaCare Complex. After practice today, Eagles rookie linebacker Jahad Campbell on the show. And a ton to react to yesterday, MLB trade deadline in the books. This is the team. Away we go to try to win a World Series. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia.
That's it? That's it?
That's all I got.
On a Friday?
That's all I got
today.
What
do you mean? That's all you got today?
That's all I got. That's all I got. It's
Come on,
it's a little
big
chilly
guy.
Today. It's a little chilly today.
You know, Elliot told me this morning it's 40 degrees cooler real feel than it was here yesterday.
No, you know.
40!
You know, it's funny. We walked up. You know, I have on shorts and, you know, T-shirt.
Well, it's summer, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, man, it really could have. Wore a long sleeve.
Could have maybe wore blue jeans today.
I was thinking that, but I was like, okay, you can't complain. Cannot complain. Because it's a bad look. So I was just like, you know, I ain't had nothing to say.
A little chilly out there. It is different. It's not your typical summer weather. Here's what it is, though. It's officially August, and the trade deadline is in the books. 215-592-9494. That gets you aboard. All right, Kyle's back in the studio. We got a lot to discuss today. Jahad Campbell later in the show. Elliot after practice later. We'll also have Scott Fransky. Listen, we appreciate everyone coming out yesterday to McGurk's and Horseshoe. We had a great day, fun day, trade deadline day, all the way up to 6 o'clock. And Hugh, we didn't really need the second half of the afternoon, though. Not the show was good, but we didn't need the lead up and need to wait because the Phillies were done when we got off the air. That was end.
They were tired.
Yeah, they were tired. Sure they were. Harrison Bader was the final piece to the puzzle. And before I get into what I want to say here, this is not a knock on Harrison Bader. He's a pretty good player. And in fact, when you look at his numbers this year compared to the rest of the outfielders we have, he's obviously an upgrade. And he's certainly a good enough player that he will help. But I got to be honest with you. They didn't do enough for me yesterday, and I don't think they did enough to make themselves as good as we wanted them to be or as good as maybe they could have been. I wanted more. I thought they needed more, and I'm not okay with the way the second half of the deadline went. Look, the Duran deal is great, and we're all excited to watch him close, but I just get the sense the Phillies needed to be more aggressive. Like, I watched what the Padres did. They pushed all their chips in. And I watched what the rest of the NL did. Even the Mets just kept getting better and a little bit better, and I feel like the Phillies just kind of paused and said, all right, well, we're probably good enough. And that, to me, in the middle of this run and the middle of their window, wasn't good enough. I'm not okay with the way yesterday went because I thought they needed it. If they were going to go for a Harrison Bader type, get me two Harrison Baders, right? Get me another pretty good outfielder to add to the mix. Try to remake the entire outfield rather than just Bader and trying to sell me on the idea that Brandon Marsh or Max Kepler are going to help this team in a meaningful way down the stretch. 215-592-9494. The trade deadline is in the books. Are you okay with what the Phillies did altogether? I'm not. Look, the Duran deal's awesome, and he's going to be a big-time closer for the Phillies. But I'm not okay with the improvements of the offense for this specific reason. Hugh, the last couple years, we get them at the bottom of the order all we want, but really the issue became this at the end of the Arizona series and at the end of the Mets series. Teams stopped pitching to Bryce Harper. They wouldn't give him a pitch to hit. And, Hugh, I wanted to acquire a bat yesterday that would change that equation, whether it was a top-of-the-order guy like a Stephen Kwan, which means you could have pushed Schwarber down below Harper to protect Harper, or a middle-of-the-order bat, and they didn't accomplish either of those two things. Hugh, where do you come down? The deadline is in the books. The Phillies land Harrison Bader to help in the outfield.
Allow me to long talk for a minute,
because
I know people are upset. And this is how I try to have vision.
Okay. Now
before I make the comments that I make, and try to see it the way that the Phillies could potentially see it. We have a lot of star power on this team, right? When you talk about the top of the lineup.
Yep.
Right. So when I look at them adding a guy like Harrison Bader, he's probably gonna bat what, fifth, sixth? Something somewhere around there.
I would think that.
I look at it like this, Joe. It's one of those things, and it's a lot on my mind when it comes to this, but it's one of those things where you're looking at a guy who's going to make contact in situations to get back to the top of the order so that those guys can hit. Now, Ike said something yesterday that was really profound, and I got to admit that he really brought the mood of the whole thing down after we got Duran when he talked about the postseason and how this team doesn't hit. That's a fact. So when I feel like you get a guy like Bader, he's not a big name, but he's been serviceable in Major League Baseball for a long time. It's kind of like a journeyman. You know, it kind of reminds me, I remember when we were talking about yesterday, moves that are made to make teams better and small moves that have paid big dividends. Mm-hmm. I thought about Jock Peterson when the Braves got him. And that move and how that helped propel them to the World Series. Now, I'm not a dummy. And I know that there has been moves that have been made, those smaller moves, you know, that the Braves have tried, the Phillies have tried to make that didn't pan out. Mm-hmm. And that's what this feels like. But I'm okay with it because maybe he is the guy that's going to move him over. Nothing is guaranteed. When you talk about going on World Series runs, nothing is guaranteed.
Here we go. Here's company man. No, Douglas. Sounds like Middleton
saying.
A couple weeks ago.
I'm just saying.
You can get a star and still not win the World Series.
You know what it was? Middleton should have never said that. I can say that as a fan.
Well, he's in your head now.
No, he ain't in my head.
It's just in your head.
Because when he said it, I was like, oh, dog, what you doing? You can't say that. You can't admit that. I mean, fan, we know that, but you can't say that.
Yeah.
You can't say that, man.
So you brought up in 215-592-9494 the Jock Peterson example with the 2021 Braves. And, Hugh, I think it's a good comp, right? They're
fair.
Different kind of players, but similar impact, right? They're pretty good, and they can help you. But the other thing the Braves did is they added, like, three outfielders, right?
Yeah.
They added Soler, Rosario, and Jock Peterson. And they all had moments. Soler won the World Series MVP, Rosario won the NLCS MVP, and Jock Peterson helped the whole way. That, you know, I would have been good with Bader if they got me two Baders, right? Another kind of player like that. Then I would have said, all right, we've added two guys to the outfield. The Phillies currently have their worst outfield production, and I know Bader now joins this, but they entered yesterday with the worst outfield production the Phillies have had in a season since 1992. Harrison Bader is not enough to move that needle enough. 215-592-9494. Let's hear from Dave Dombrowski after the deadline yesterday. And you know, we could have predicted this a mile away. If they didn't make a move for a big bat or something significant, you knew what they were going to say. The improvements are coming internally. Here's Dombrowski last night.
Were there deals or opportunities or discussions today with teams where, like you mentioned last night, they were asking for Andrew Painter or maybe another top prospect?
Well, we had a lot of conversations still today. We could have made other trades like anybody could make more. We're very comfortable. We've added where we think we needed to add. We added a couple guys to our bullpen that we're very happy. People almost forget about David Robertson at this time because he's not here, but he's out there throwing. So between David and then Juan, I mean, all of a sudden we've got two good additions from the right-hand side. Alvarado's not too far away either, but those two guys there and then getting a right-handing outfielder was our main thing. We talked to – basically, I can't tell you there was any club over the last time period that we did not speak to. There was no stone unturned, but we felt good with our club. We didn't have a lot of gaping holes. Some of, again, our offensive improvements going to have to come internally. We think it can. It's just like all of a sudden you see Brandon Marsh hit a couple home runs the last couple of days. We think he has – Can drive the ball more than he has in the past. He's starting to do that. Some of that's going to have to come internal. But we feel comfortable with the guys that we got and really weren't enticed to trade the big names, although some of our top prospects, people still asked about them.
You could have, a mile away, you could have seen it coming. They didn't end up getting a big bat, so what do they say? Well, it's got to be the internal improvements. Mentioning Brandon Marsh driving the ball the other day, I mean, like, am I supposed to buy that? Like, is that supposed to get me to say, oh, it's all going to be okay in the offense?
Yes.
No, well, it's not.
Well, they're looking at like, and by the way, these are the type of moves that get you fired, by the way. You know, when you talk about trying to depend on guys who flashed at times and then they've kind of curtailed off. Mm-hmm. You know, I think about a few years ago when I got here, how it was Stott and Marsh and Bohm, for that matter, that kind of carried the top of the lineup.
And they were hoping those guys
could turn
that.
The corner.
Yeah.
And I think – I forgot who said it yesterday, but I think that's where we are. We're hoping that these guys are finally the light switch will click on. You know, and that's probably one of the reasons why, you know, Bohm was so grateful that he didn't get traded, because he has to pay dividends, guys like that. So – that, I think that's what they're looking at, Joe. They're looking at these young guys who flashed early on when I got here to carry it all the way through.
Yeah, I know. But if you keep expecting something that is unlikely to happen, it's probably unlikely to happen. 215-592-9494. I'm not okay with how yesterday went. I wanted more. Again, Bader's not the issue. Bader is an improvement over what they're throwing out there in center and left. But if you're going to get a Bader who's a B-minus kind of player, you need to get another B-minus player, and then you don't have as many holes in the lineup. They didn't do that yesterday. They didn't improve the offense enough. I don't like it. Look, Durant is awesome. I would have made that deal, but I would have pushed further. And I heard this from Ken Rosenthal yesterday. Now, in this clip you're going to hear, he wasn't speaking specifically about the Phillies. I think he was asked about the Tigers, some of the Tigers. But when I heard him say this, this is how I felt about the Phillies. Here's Ken Rosenthal yesterday.
The goal of every team should be to win the World Series. And the teams that didn't go all out, that's the question I have for them, the contenders. Are you trying to win the World Series? Even the Tigers. Now, I didn't love their bullpen moves. Kyle Finnegan was one. Paul Sewald was another. I felt they needed more swing and miss. But they also acquired Chris Paddock and then Charlie Morton for their rotation. Okay, it's modest, relatively speaking, but it's not bad. And it reinforces what has been their strength, the pitching. Are they going all out? No, but at least they're making moves to try to win the World Series. Some of these other teams are not looking at it like that, and that's the problem. I know the playoffs are random. I know with an expanded postseason, they're even more random. But the goal of this sport should be to be the last team standing. I don't know that enough teams look at it that way.
That the way he framed it struck me, because that's the way I felt about the Phillies. They're modestly better, right? They're a better team than they were 48 hours ago. We all agree on that, especially in the bullpen.
Yeah.
They're modestly better in the lineup with Harrison Bader. But was the goal to absolutely win the World Series this year, or was the goal to be give yourself a little better a chance but also preserve the future? That's what it felt like they did. Like they wanted to win, and they're trying, and they added. But, Hugh, they didn't push all their chips to the middle and say, we are going to win the World Series this year. It felt like, yeah, let's do the best we can and still preserve the future. That's what it felt like they did.
That's what they did. I mean, and that's the reality of it, because I told you a few days ago that you don't want to go back to purgatory, the Odubel Herrera era. That's what they're fighting against. And that's why the top prospects were, like Jack likes to call them, the top five. Didn't get rid of any of those guys. Because you want to keep the talent in the cupboard so that you will have guys on your squad that people are excited about for. You won't have those lean years. That's exactly what it is. Oh, yeah, by the way, shout out to J-Roll going into on the Wall of Fame tonight.
J-Roll, Ed Wade, this weekend, Eric Allen. It
big
is a big
time.
Weekend.
Big
Hall
weekend.
Of Fame, Wall of Fame weekend. 215-592-9494. By the way, while you're doing special little shout-outs, Eric was the winner of the morning show side topic.
Uh-huh.
He gets the Phillies tickets tonight because you mentioned J-Roll in the Wall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, one more shout-out, though.
They ran out of time.
John Clark. Going into the Temple Hall of Fame.
How about that?
Yeah, we get everybody
today.
Hall
of Fames, Wall
of
Fames.
Yeah, we got to get everybody around.
You guys got any more shout-outs?
No, we don't, okay. But I do want to know how you're feeling about the Phillies. Kyle, what are you thinking?
I mean, I just wish I felt better today. And while I love the Durant move, and I do think by October our bullpen's going to look a lot different, I'm very grateful that I believe I don't have to see Joe Ross and Jordan Romano take down high leverage innings anymore.
Like that. I told you yesterday, Romano's going to watch the NLCS from the same seats we are.
I hope so. And I really hope that this means the end of Max Kepler, the Harrison Bader thing. But again, like, I don't know. I wish I wanted to come in today feeling like the Phillies had a better chance than pretty much anyone in the NL to go and win the World Series. And I not only do I not feel that, I feel like other teams gave themselves or put themselves in better position. I mean, I saw what the Padres did. I know they gave up tons of prospects, but by the time the deadline was rolling around, I was like, screw the prospects. I don't care. The time is now. All these teams are making moves, and there was nothing. Like, it was radio silence from the Phillies for a while. So I don't know. I just wish that we had done more to separate us from the pack there in the NL. And now I just feel like we're just another team that maybe can go win the World Series. And I really, I did not want to feel that way coming into today. So I just wish they did
more. I feel similarly. Yeah, I do too. And I'm not okay with the way it went. 215-592-9494. Where do you come down? Phillies, MLB trade deadline. They land Harrison Bader yesterday. You know, we know Duran on Thursday or Tuesday, Wednesday, excuse me. Look, the closer is going to make a difference, and it's a big-time move. I just wanted more from the offense. And if you're going to get me a Bader, get me two Harrison Baders. Go with the Brave strategy from 21 and remake the whole outfield. But only getting that guy, just one of them, it's not enough. And I know the Phillies were very protective of their top prospects, but if they could have landed a Stephen Kwan, I would have given up any of those guys to get him, because to me that would have been a difference maker to put him over the hump. Let's go to the phone lines here. Chris in Middletown is up on WIP. Hey, Chris.
TGIF, man.
Chris, it is Friday.
It is Friday.
It is. We're at camp. What's up, Chris? What are you feeling?
Guys, I called yesterday and I said, you know, deadline Dave was on fire and he's going to bring it home. Got a Spader. And then he listened to Do Nothing Douglas. Company man Douglas.
Which is never a good idea. That's always a bad idea.
And that fan base, all your frustrations with what happened yesterday, and the disappointment, it all rests on the shoulders of Douglas, because he's been saying this for the longest time. Company man's been like, do nothing, sit on your thumbs. They've listened to him.
So the worst thing that happened, Chris, was when Hugh heard John Middleton say, you could trade for a great player and not win the World Series, because then company man Douglas took root from there. It was like, they don't got to do it.
Right.
I mean, they can still get a guy and they won't win.
Y'all are not right.
I mean, it's the truth.
I don't find it a coincidence that he went strong company man right after he got called into the HR department and came late to the show, too.
He said, I got to switch it up for a little while.
Makes sense.
They told him, lock in. Guys, as far as these two trades, the Moran trade is just lights out. You couldn't have done any better. I mean, he is the most dominant closer that was available and out there. I mean, and he's probably arguably the best right now in Major League Baseball. So, like, that's a phenomenal move. The Bader move, I think it's getting downplayed a little bit because we all had our sights set on Kwan. And we feel like Bader is just like a nothing move. But Bader was still a very good trade. It wasn't great, but it was very good. As far as the disappointment for Kwan, let's just remind everybody, Kwan did not get moved. So it's not like we missed out, like the Mets got him or the Dodgers got him or, you know, the Yankees got him. Nobody got him. The price was so ridiculously high that even though you had all these teams pushing for it and trying to get the trade, nobody made the move. So let's realize that, too. So let's
you're right. You're right. It wasn't like he landed with the Dodgers. But, Chris, I don't know this, but I do believe if the Phillies put Painter on the table, Stephen Kwan would be a Philly right now. And I don't think they were willing to do that. And then we'll decide in the next 3 or 4 years if that was the right idea. But – if they had put a top 10 prospect in baseball on the table, I think he's here.
Joe, I can't disagree with you on that. And my personal feeling is I agreed with you yesterday. If it was up to me, I would have traded Painter for him. So, but we're not in charge, okay? The Harrison Bader move. This guy's not a total slouch. He's got a 2.5 war. In war, you can't hide from the numbers. So I'm a big warsman, all right? So that 2.5 war is the third highest outside of our pitchers on our team right now. So only Trey Turner and Kyle Schwarber have a higher war than him. So, again, we did get a very good piece. You know, The problem in the playoffs is when we go cold, we go ice cold. And that's going to be the issue. Right now, guys, I'm going to leave you with one quick last point on the Phillies. Right now, I just looked. The betting odds, Hughes got his $2 ready. We right now have the second highest odds of winning the World Series. So the
smart people and the money is
still with us. So I think our emotion may be leading us a little astray, and I'm never emotional.
Yeah, of course. Never.
I do want to say to the young man, the young Thundercat that you guys are going to have on the show, welcome to Philadelphia, the future defensive player of the year, Jahad C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L-Hammer.
I thought he might trip over Campbell there. That's
way to go, Chris.
Not the easiest one to chant. Kyle, do you know if they're going to raise a banner one day for second best World Series odds on August 1st?
Yeah,
or
I mean,
maybe they'll raise a banner for we kept all our prospects at the trade deadline, our top three guys.
I'm looking outside on Market Street, and there is a parade going on right now.
Second best World Series odds, August 1st.
Sarcasm.
We kept Andrew Painter for a second straight deadline. Who cares? What matters is who wins the World Series in October, right?
Yeah.
The Phillies' odds weren't going to change dramatically yesterday anyway. They weren't going to jump the Dodgers, probably no matter what they did. And sitting the way they are, not five teams are going to jump them. There's too much of the season still to go, and it's based on a lot of things, including money that came in before the year. The bottom line is this. Harrison Bader is solid.
He's a decent player. He's not what we wanted when we got Duran.
No, if you're going to go that in, get me another outfield bat. I just feel like the Phillies, they got lost, or maybe not lost, but they're comfortable where they are in this middle ground of, hey, we want to win the World Series, but hey, we're not really going to push everything in the way a team like the Padres did. And look, the Padres might regret it 3 years from now, but my goodness, they got dramatically better yesterday, and I feel like the Phillies got better, but not dramatically better. Mark in Woodbury Heights. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
I am bewildered. And I'm going to tell you why. Different day, same question. Who's protecting Bryce Harper?
The answer is the same as it has been for the last 3 years, unfortunately, Mark. It's either Bohm or Castellanos.
Or Hugh Douglas.
Bader. No, you know what? The answer is not. It's not good enough, whoever it is.
Yeah, I'm bewildered. You have not addressed your number one need. You have not addressed it. We keep going over and over. That Bader may be great. All right? Austin Hayes. I go, it's the same situation. You got a great closer. Awesome. He may not play a lot because you can't score runs. I mean, you got to up the offense. They didn't do it. They didn't do it. Is this team good enough to win the World Series?
They're good enough, but they're not likely to do it. That's the way I'd frame it. Like, it could happen, but it's them. And here's the thing. They may have to go through four rounds to do it, which is the wild card.
They got a shot.
Yeah, they got a shot, but they had a shot before yesterday. Hugh, they needed to add more.
They're not listening.
They got a closer.
Bader will improve their defense, and that's important, especially up the middle. That is important. But we ask this question every October. Well, we didn't have anybody to protect Harper. So by not protecting Bryce Harper, Harper's like being eliminated from the offense. You're not going to pitch to him.
Well, that's exactly what Arizona did. I mean, Arizona from game three on, and Mark, we always appreciate, took the bat out of Harper's hands.
Yeah, that is happening, and that's the thing that a lot of people are afraid of. You know, like I said, there was some truth. It was a truth bomb Bob dropped on the show yesterday when everybody talked about getting a closer and being excited about that. And the reality is you got to get to the closer.
Well, there's a fear I have, Hugh, that they go out in the first round and he never pitches.
Yeah,
they're down
it's like,
3-1, 2-1, and he never enters the game.
That's one of those ones when you think about that, it's sobering. But that's on your high-dollar players. You know, we always talking about the Rojas's and the Sosa's and all the other guys. It's the top of the order that has to keep this from being an issue. Bottom line, you know, Bryce Harper has had his moments – in big games, but they need to figure it out. They need to they have to move runners over.
Well, they have to hit in October, and they did. To me, yesterday they didn't give themselves enough of a chance to have a deep enough lineup because it's just Harrison Bader. That's all they added. 215-592-9494. Are you okay with how the deadline went for the Phillies? We were all pumped up yesterday at this time. And then all we got the rest of the day was Harrison Bader. Where do you come down? All right, we'll play more from Dave Dombrowski on some of the moves they made and didn't make and why they ultimately decided to hang on to their best trade chip in Andrew Painter. And I said it yesterday. I'll say it again right now. We'll discuss it on the other side. I would have offered Painter for Stephen Kwan. I would have made the Guardians said no to that and tried to land the best possible bat. They didn't do it. I would have done it. Where do you come down on all this? And it's Friday, which means it's Tri-Day. Jihad Campbell joins us after Eagles practice. We're live at the NovaCare Complex. It is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is this for the Eagles, who are the champs, and we're live at camp? Or is this for the Phillies, for the banners? Remember the banners they're raising? Second best World Series odds, August 1st.
You know what I think this is for?
What's that?
J-Roe going into the Hall of Fame tonight.
Well, he's a champ and
yes,
a Wall of Famer.
Yes, he is.
Maybe one day a Hall of Famer in Cooperstown.
Shout
maybe.
Out to J-Roe. I know he's probably in town already. Hey, man, I think Shane Victorino's here, too. Brian, I'm pretty sure all of the guys are here.
Yeah, it'd be great if they're here for their guy tonight. It's gonna be a big night at Citizens Bank Park, Wall of Fame night with Jimmy Ed.
And then
Wade.
Deron gonna be in town.
We might get the entrance tonight.
Yeah,
we need a lead
well,
though.
Well, I'm kind of torn with that.
What do you mean?
Because that means we're in a tight game.
What do you expect?
I mean,
we're playing a pretty good team this weekend. Detroit's in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to see the answers today. All right. We got a lot to discuss here. Broadcasting from the NovaCare Complex for 94 WIP's Champ Camp, driven by Forest River RV, by Camping World, RV sales, service, parts, and accessories after Eagles practice, which is happening in front of us right now. Rookie linebacker Jihad Campbell will be in our RV hanging out with us. Excited to talk to him and see how his first camp is going as he tries to make a big impact in his rookie season. So Jihad will join us. Your phone call's coming up. But Hugh, I need to get to this because I feel like it's the elephant in the room. I mentioned this yesterday when I was on with the afternoon show at 2, that we keep saying, you know, because yesterday the name that we all wanted, or a lot of people wanted, was Stephen Kwan, right?
He was probably
the best hitter that could have been moved yesterday. Now, Cleveland ultimately held on to him. They did not move him. But my point was, the Phillies have an ace in the hole. Like, they have Andrew Painter. Offer Andrew Painter and make the Guardians say, no, I would have done that. I know a lot of people wouldn't have. Let's hear Dave Dombrowski yesterday, last evening, after the deadline had passed, talking about the outfield market, what it was, what it wasn't.
Well, I think the outfield market compared to maybe the reliever market, the starting pitching market, especially if you're talking right-hand hitting outfielders, it really wasn't very robust. There really weren't very many right-hand hitting outfielders out there. There were some more, some left-handed guys, but there weren't as many. Now, there's still things coming across. I just saw Yaz got traded to Kansas City from, of course, being a left-handed hitter. So there may be other things that come across also. But there really wasn't a long list of right-hand hitting outfielders that we thought could be helpful to us. So it was a very limited number of players in that regard. And, I mean, again, you can try to go get other guys, but sometimes the cost of acquisition was extremely high.
Well, that's it right there. You could have went and got other guys, but the cost of acquisition was very high. I'll take that to mean Andrew Painter. Let's hear Dombrowski on Painter and why they decided ultimately in any deal not to move him.
Well, because I think he's really good. I mean, it's really what it comes down to. I think he's a premier starting pitcher. I mean, is what he projects to be. Yeah, he's coming off of basically missing 2 years, Tommy John surgery. A lot of times after you throw like he has, it even takes another year to get back to where you are. I mean, there's no untradeable players, because if you hit a certain guy that anybody can be traded. Like I've always said, I would trade to Miguel Cabrera for two Miguel Cabreras, so you would always do that. But we just think he's really, really good. Top of the rotation, has the potential to be a number one, number two type starter for a long, long time for us. And we're right on the verge of being able to do it. We need to work in. Now we're getting some guys here, but we talk about the Crawfords. We talk about the Painters. We have Aiden Miller not far away, but Rincones at AAA too. We've seen Kemp break in here. The opportunity, we need some of these youngsters to keep coming up with us over the next couple of years to keep progressing and keep going for years to come. And they're important parts of that. And Andrew's an extremely important part of those plans.
Look, I get all that. And I think Andrew Painter still has a world of potential. But I keep coming back to this. Andrew Painter's name first started popping up, Hugh, around the end of 2022 into 23, mm-hmm. right? He got hurt, unfortunately, at the beginning of the 2023 season in spring training. I don't know when he's coming up. I don't know when he's going to help the Phillies. All I know is this. At this point, we have gone 3 years, three seasons, in the middle of a championship window. Obviously, he was hurt for the first two of this window I'm talking about, 23 and 24. And now this year, he's healthy and in the minors. Where he's not helping the team. He's not helping their pursuit of a World Series, and they don't want to give him up. Which obviously is not helping the Major League team right now. So, a couple things. One, I would have traded him for Kwan. Two, the amount of pressure that I think they're putting on him by letting us all know that they wouldn't trade him for anybody is incredible. Because I'm going to, every time, when he arrives here, eventually, and hope it's soon, I'm going to look at him through the prism of, all right, he's supposed to be great. So great.
You're supposed to be that dude.
So great. So that dude that they wouldn't give up for Kwan, for Mason Miller, for Garrett Crochet. Like, he's really, they've put a lot of pressure on him. And I just want to point out, I know a lot of people didn't want to trade him for Kwan or wouldn't want to put him in any package. In the last 20 years, I'm going to read you some of the names of the highest prospects traded in any deal. Okay, and tell me if any of these guys were like, oh my goodness gracious, they're going to the Hall of Fame. Yoan Moncada. Leo DeVries was the guy Padres traded to the A's yesterday, so forget him. He just got traded. Okay, Will Myers. He's a good player, but he wasn't great. Lucas Giolito. Good starting pitcher, not got great. Cameron Maben, Trevor Bauer, we know what happened to his career. Eloy Jimenez, Scott Kazmir, Dansby Swanson. Those are the best prospects by ranking traded in the last 20 years. So I understand how highly this guy's ranked, but there's no assurances he becomes a Hall of Famer. I mean, like, they're billing him to be this amazing pitcher. And right now, he has a 4.4 ERA in AAA. Hugh, they held steadfast. I would have traded him for Kwan. Would you?
I feel like Dombrowski feels like he's a generational talent.
It sounds like he's saying that without saying those exact words.
He feels like, because I got to tell you, Joe, and I don't know the answer to this. I don't know the answer to this. But when I got here, because that's my frame of reference, been here for 3 years. When I got here, he was as highly touted in Philadelphia as, Strasburg was. With the Nationals when he was getting ready to
come up. It was a similar kind. The buzz was beginning to reach that.
It was beginning to reach that. And we all know what he was. Phenomenal talent, kind of a bright, burning star, burnt out a little bit too soon. But
he was great.
At the end of the day, won a World Series. So when I think of Andrew Painter and the buzz that was surrounding him, That's kind of, I know it, and it's on a smaller scale, but Philadelphia, you know, that's the center of my universe. It was the same feel, and that's what it feels like when he's talked about. It's not said that he's considered that type of talent, but it feels that way.
You're right. It does feel that they believe that, and I'm just saying, when we look back on this era, and if I say to you, the 3 years, 23, 24, 25, the middle of their window to win a World Series, they got, in total, they got 18 minor league starts out of Andrew Painter at a 4.4 ERA. That's what he contributed in 3 years. Unfortunately, he was hurt for it. That's nothing. I mean, like, that's nothing, unfortunately, and they wouldn't give him up. I'm just saying, if Kwan was available yesterday and they could have got him for Painter, I would have done it. Prospects, pitching prospects.
Be damned.
Sometimes they are Steven Strasburg. Sometimes they're Scott Kazmir. Sometimes they flame out. Sometimes they're not what you think they are. And if they could have gotten one of the best outfielders in baseball, I would have done it yesterday. What do you guys come down on everything with the trade deadline? Do the Phillies do enough? Are you okay with the way this turned out? Steve in Bridgeton's up. Hey, Steve.
Steve.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, you. What's up, guys?
Hey,
what's
Steve.
Up, so, yeah, I wish Dombrowski did a little bit more. The Durant move, he knocked it out of the park. Now, I know you wanted to trade Painter for Kwan. I wouldn't have. There's one bat I would have traded Painter for. He's in Arizona, Ketel Marte. That's the only bat I would have traded Painter for.
I would have done that too. Yep.
And now with Bader, you never know. He could be our Cody Ross, like how Hugh comped him to Jock Peterson. You know, Bader, he's not flashy. He's not. He's got that moxie. He's got that bulldog type energy that we kind of needed. He's got that dog in him.
Mm-hmm. No, he does. And Steve, to your point on Cody Ross, two or three years ago with the Yankees, Bader hit really well in the postseason. So he's got a little track record of doing this too.
So, yeah. I mean, and then I think, look, yeah, the Padres made those moves. The Mets made all those moves. But guess what? Here's my prediction. Padres make the playoffs. The Mets don't. The two other NL Central teams will pass the Mets, and the Mets just sit at home watching us in the playoffs. And then
I hope you're right. I mean, I don't think you're right, but I hope you're right. That'd be great.
My other point, if they want to win it all, they got to have better plate discipline in October. They got to stop swinging at the sliders, the high fastballs. And what else is going to get them is, if you remember how Houston pitched them in the three-game series, they swept us.
Mm-hmm.
The 50-50 pitches, they got to be better at that. That's how Houston beat them. They got to go back and watch film, lay off the sliders off the plate. That's what they got to do.
Well, they do, and that's. I mean, the book has been out on them, and Steve, we appreciate the call for a long time. That's you throw them slop, and you
make, they'll swing at it.
Yeah, and you make them avoid it. And
see, that's the most unfortunate thing about all of this. You know, you get into the playoffs, and what we've seen is every year, regardless of what the pitchers do and the bats, they just don't hit.
And it's this, and what is frustrating or worrisome is we're going to rely on the same people. Like, it's going to come down to Nick Castellanos and Alec Bohm. Like, the guys that have had trouble in the biggest spots, it's going to go back to them. Like, we can hope and we can cross our fingers that Trey, Schwarber, and Bryce get red hot for 3 weeks and they just carry it. Okay. I mean, they could for a series or two. We've seen that. But those guys are going to need some help at some point. You can't win a World Series just three bats hitting. You need the other guys to help out over the course of October. 215-592-9494. All right, your takeaway on yesterday, are you okay with what the Phillies did?
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, Let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm not. I wanted more yesterday. If you're going to give me Bader, give me two Baders. Otherwise, go get me a Stephen Kwan. And I would have given up Andrew Painter. I'm curious people would have come down on that. But, Hugh, it is a Friday. You know what we do on Fridays here.
What are we doing?
Well, it's a Tri-Day Friday.
It's a Tri-Day Friday.
It's Tri-Day, Tri-Day, Hugh and Joe on Fridays.
Hugh, I think it's only fair after the week that was around here if we put ourselves a little bit out there to get made fun of. I mean, we did spend, I mean, what was it, an entire show, almost a whole show, ripping Blue Jeans Lakin?
You know, Rod, in Blue Jeans.
Yeah, I mean, you to the point
deserved,
where you,
though. I mean, that was
totally deserved, and you thought you weren't going to have a key card working the next
day. Yeah, that was a little touch and go.
Yeah, so why don't we give people the opportunity today to give us a nickname. What a nickname for the Midday Show.
Make it a good one, everybody. Make it a good nickname.
Good nickname. Your nickname. Like, when I say Midday Show, something, I mean, it could be cutting, like Blue Jeans Lakin, which is, you know, it doesn't have to be cutting, but again, the guy was sweating bullets at 8:30 on a Tuesday at training camp in blue jeans, which is crazy considering the weather today, because it is, today's the day, Hugh. I'm actually, as I look out to the crowd at training camp, there's people in blue jeans.
It's a little, I hate to say it because, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm complaining.
But you're going to say it's chilly?
I didn't say it, you did.
You were about to say it.
You are unbelievable.
I didn't say nothing.
It's nice compared to the last few days.
We had to turn the AC off.
Well, that's because it was a meat locker in here. We
got yeah, it looked cold, man. It's cold.
It was. All right. Your nickname for the Midday Show, Tri-Day Friday, in honor of Blue Jeans Rod Lakin. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Aaron in San Diego up on WIP. Good morning, Aaron.
What's up, Aaron?
Philadelphia. Good morning.
You changed it up. You went Philadelphia, good morning, instead of good morning, Philadelphia. Yeah,
just as brutal, too.
I am feeling a little bit discouraged today for numerous reasons, but the first being, you know, we got a nice, shiny new toy yesterday. You know, it's kind of like getting that snowmobile that's got all the bells and whistles. It goes 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. The only problem is we got to put it in the garage and wait for it to snow. You know, in terms of the bats, God, I want them to get hot, and I want nothing more than the Phillies to win the World Series. But come playoff time, all you got to do is pitch around Turner, Schwarber, and Harper, and make the rest of the team beat us and beat you. And I don't think, you know, we can rely on Bohm, Stott, Castellanos, Marsh, Sosa to lead this team to where we need to go. And it's kind of a discouraging day today a little bit.
Well, I feel some of that, and I agree. I mean, it does still come down to those guys, and we're going to need that. Look, we're going to need Bader to play as well as he has the whole season. It's probably been the best year of his career, or one of the few best of his career. That's a big part. He's got to be good. Aaron, it's just frustrating because when you go get the shiny toy, as you're saying, to me then you've already committed to going for it. Like, keep going for it. And if you're not going to get one great bat, at least give me two good ones instead of just one. It just felt like a half measure yesterday.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, I know everybody wanted Kwan yesterday, but, I mean, isn't he an Indian? Aren't the Indians still in playoff contention?
Well, Guardian. No, they're falling out.
Keep up.
Yeah.
Right. Keep up. Okay. Changed a few years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
Cleveland Gardens.
But hey, and the other thing that I'm discouraged, and this ties into the tri-day, is I think yesterday I was sitting at work listening to the radio, and I got pretty discouraged when I heard the second teamers, and that's yes, you, Joe, and you, Hugh, interacting with the afternoon show And usually I bag on Chris from Middletown about his incoherent spelling of God knows what. But, you know, there should be no question of loyalty with Chris in Middletown and Aaron in San Diego and our loyalty to the Midday Show. And the fact that you guys did not stand up for us, Joe, you acted like a 13-year-old trying to hang with the cool kids at school.
No, hold on. I enjoy bringing you on so we can make fun of you. I was totally honest.
I didn't get that at all. I just didn't see,
I defended you, you know, to a certain extent. Well,
I didn't.
I mean, you defended my wife, which I really appreciate. But but Hugh, you were like the little brother to Ike, company man Reese, where, you know, as soon as he questions something, you're like, okay, Ike.
Ike's loud.
I don't like the way this nickname's going. It sounds, yeah, it sounds,
Aaron,
derogatory.
You're about to get zipped from all shows. I mean, you realize this is about to happen. So,
The good news is I'm here to make an announcement.
Okay.
That I will be stepping away from the Midday Show for the next 2 days.
You leaving
to
us?
To kind of contemplate my future.
Next 2 days.
It's Friday.
I did.
So we'll talk to you Monday morning, Aaron?
Well, no, I had OnlyFans reach out to me.
Oh, God.
My plan is to become a model. You can find me at Chubby Chasers R Us. Okay. Hashtag fat guys need love, too. All you people out there, have a great and blessed day.
That's more than enough. Yeah, I'll take the blame for that one.
The afternoon show, they are kind of loud and boisterous.
Yeah.
They're a little aggressive.
What was that after anything?
I'm just saying, Spike's a little over the top. Because you didn't hear, like, Spike's disrespectful.
To Aaron?
No, to everybody. You didn't hear that, those little barbs he was taking at Bam?
Yeah, well, I mean, Bam, let's be real. Sometimes Bam embellishes stories, right? That's the truth?
Facetious.
We're back to this again?
Yeah, I'm just saying, that's kind of what
you did use that word correctly, by the way.
I thank you. Yeah. I know I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but everybody else didn't believe.
No, they jumped
there's
on
a
it.
History here of questioning if we're using words correctly.
I know, and it's okay. That's why there was no pushback.
And the ambiguity.
But I knew I was using it correctly. But yeah, like, I think that, because, okay, we're not that comfortable with Bam to be making, like, blind jokes. That's not cool.
Well, because we're not sure. I mean, like.
Well, I will say this. I like Bam, but Bam does say some things sometimes that kind of makes you wonder, because was people reached out to me and asked me what was going on. I was like, man, I don't know.
Well,
like,
and also we got the information that Bam had gotten a heads up on Tuesday. There was no tennis match and still went down to FDR Park with Fritz on his chest.
Yeah, and we can just say it was me that told you guys. Like, Bam called me and said, hey, I'm on my way down to FDR. And I said, you should probably turn around because it's postponed. And he said, oh, okay.
And still went, apparently.
No,
because see, here's the thing with me. Because a lot of times when Bam is talking, he'll say, I saw this, that, or the third.
Yeah.
And you know how my mind works.
You wonder.
You know what I'm saying?
What do you mean?
No disrespect.
But just logistics.
But just the initial, when you say I saw something, your first thought is?
You saw it.
Yeah, that's all.
I understand.
I mean, you know, no disrespect to anybody.
Yeah,
well, I'm just saying. It's just when you say that, it just, you know, that's
there's it's a connotation.
Like, yeah. You know what I mean?
In fairness, I think that's just a manner of speaking.
Yeah,
but the whole idea that he sat there for a couple hours at FDR Park in a male cheerleader's outfit, I can't buy it.
Yeah, here's the bottom line. It's just not trustworthy. The information's just not trustworthy. Steve in Egg Harbor's up.
It's a little spotty.
It is spotty. Spotty like Dombrowski just getting Bader for the lineup. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, what's going on? Yeah, I'm not satisfied with what they did yesterday, but we are, I guess, somewhat improved. You know, hopefully our stars can go six innings, and we got Kirkering, Robertson, and the closer to come in. Hopefully that'll... you know, work a little bit. I would think this is what I would do now that this is what we got. I'd put Bader in center. I mean, the Bader guy in center field that we just got. I put Schwarber in left field, which will upgrade, you know, the hitting in left field and a little setback in the fielding department. But if Bader's as good as they say he is gap to gap, then we got it pretty much covered. And Topper will never do it because he's just so loyal to his 220 hitters like Stott. I would put Socia in the lineup right there in second base, and then we got an upgrade in hitting at second base, and at least, you know, we got some kind of change and some kind of put, and I put Schwarber in back of Harper.
Well, Steve, if we go along with your idea, you're also opening up DH. So when Bohm gets back, you could play Kemp at DH. You could instead of having Kepler or Marsh in the lineup, you could play Kemp and Bohm because you have the DH spot open. So you open that up if you put Kemp. Yeah.
So that's even better, isn't it? I mean, and it's a change. It's something different than what we've been doing the whole stinking year with Kepler. And I'm sorry, I'm tired of Stott. The guy, when he went to left field, is you know, when he batted 270 2 years ago, he was going to left field, he's hitting the ball. This guy wants to hit home runs, and he's not a home run hitter, and he's obviously too stupid to realize what he is. So, bench him. I mean, you know, 230 hitter's not good enough as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and there's no pop. It's 230 with no pop. Yeah, I mean, he has dragged the lineup down for months. I mean, if you look at Stott's numbers since the beginning of May, it's almost unplayable. I think you might be onto something that they can't just let it go the whole season.
And last year he drugged the lineup down. He only hit 240 last year. I got a name for you guys because I think you guys are all a little bit crazy. How about the Midday Maniacs?
The Midday Maniacs. There it is. Our first nickname, Hugh. You into it?
I kind of like that one.
All right, Midday Maniacs. First nickname for the Midday Show on a Friday. All right, 215-592-9494. We're taking nickname submissions for the Midday Show. To honor this week, of course, we had a big nickname on the show, Blue Jeans Lakin, Rod Lakin on Tuesday, when it came to the cancellation of tennis. All right, your calls on what the Phillies did or didn't do, and do you feel like it was enough? Because I felt like I was excited yesterday, but after watching the way it played out and some teams being more aggressive, I just wish they did more, and I'm not okay with just Bayer in the lineup. All right, Jahad Campbell set to join us after practice today, and when we get back, what do we expect the outfield to look like now? With Harrison Bader in the mix, following that addition. Is he going to play every day? Is Kepler out of here? Perhaps Justin Crawford soon. We'll let you hear what Dave Dabrowski said last night. That's coming up. Midday Show live at Eagles Training Camp. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.